Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tonight, we're in part 84 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Actually, it's not night. When I'm recording this, it's about 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And whatever time it is, though, I'm going to pray this evening that, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be involved in this message today, as I always do, that God will anoint with His Holy Spirit. And that means that He'll be the one talking through me. And I just thank and praise the Lord that I don't have to listen to all these crazy things that they're saying on television today, like the Da Vinci Code and Jesus was married to this former prostitute and that Judas was a good man and so on. Because the Bible tells us that there was false prophets and so on. And I know the Bible is true because Jesus, the living God, appeared in front of me in my own bedroom while it was pitch black dark. And I'm telling you, it was like Las Vegas. The Las Vegas lights that lit up in there even brighter than that. And the Lord appeared right in front of me in that dark room. And then I've seen many other signs and visions and dreams, dream visions, that the Lord gave me. And He talks to me on a continuous basis. And so it doesn't make any difference of all the false doctrine that the worldly people, the people that don't have the Spirit of God, are saying, or like the book of Revelation isn't true because, or John didn't write it because the book of John plus 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John didn't come from the same hand. Well, I want to inform you people that say this, you're supposed to be Bible students, that the Lord, He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Lord was the one that was giving Him the directions to write the book of Revelation. And now the false doctrine is coming out that there were two different Johns. No, it is the same John that wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that wrote the book of Revelation. And of course, the Holy Spirit was involved from the book of Genesis, the very first words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right to the part, all the way to creation. So the first words of God in the book of Genesis, throughout the entire Bible and in the book of Revelation, where it tells us of eternity. From time throughout eternity, the word of God is absolutely the truth. Now, I talk to God, and God talks to me. It's amazing how these supposed-to-be Bible students think that God cannot talk. He that formed the tongue, can He not speak? He that made the eye, can He not see? He sees, He's the one that whipped all the languages on the people at the Tower of Babel when they were trying to build a tower to the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord stated to the Spirit and to the Son, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit said, let us go down. They're all three, one God. But He said, let us go down and confound them. Confound man. So that's when all the languages began. And so God not only speaks, but He speaks in all the languages. He knows all the languages. He's a linguist. Did you know that? Yes, He is. Well, and now this will be tape or program number 186, and if you'd like to have a copy of it, please, Sharon will give you four different ways of how to receive copies of this tape and all other tapes, plus literature, the Messiah book, Bibles, and if you're going to be a distributor, t-shirts or sweatshirts, whatever. We have some letters. We're always getting letters. There's so many of them. And some of them, they're so good that I'd like to have all of them read on the program, but there's too many. It would take us from now until probably 10 years from now to read them all on the air. So we only do two or three every evening. Sometimes some of them are so long we do one. And we've got some very apropos scriptures that the Lord gave me that He wants you people in Radioland to hear. Not only unsaved, but those of you that are members of the Lord's body that need to be fed, because the Lord told me to be the teacher of the brethren, to be the one that teaches the spiritual things to those that are without, that need the encouragement, need the uplifting. I older Christians are supposed to do that, but I told the Lord, they're not doing it, Lord. What message can I give to them that will cause them to do that? And he said, you be the older Christian. You bring the messages. He said, because they're, that's what I want you to do. And so I didn't question it. So I started the radio. I started doing tapes, and then the door opened up for me to be on radio, and we're all over the world now, and it just happened so fast. And since then, the Lord has blessed this church all over the world far more than I can even express. It would take forever. So right now, we're going to get started now. Let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to outwardly anoint this service, because the outward anointing, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which anoints, has already anointed us from within. We're filled with it. And also the outward anointing, that the Lord comes down at the special certain times, whenever it is that he wants to speak to the people of the world and in the church. And Lord, I ask that you anoint this service this evening. Let it be filled with the fiber of you, Lord, the essence and the quiescence of you. Let your words that go through, that emanate from your throne in heaven, emanate through me, and let it rivet itself into the minds, the hearts, and the souls, the spiritual minds also, the hearts and the souls of the people out in the world, and those that are in the church, that their souls may be redeemed and strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
Greetings from Bestman. I am writing this letter with a joyful heart. I want to thank God for sending your ministry to me. I also want to thank God for your life and ministry, sending the message of God to people around the world. As a distributor of the Word of God, I explain the plan of God to the people. Recently, after I shared some of your end-time literature, 17 people received Jesus as their Savior, and 11 people were healed of their sickness.
See, now this man that's distributing this literature, he's going to get the same reward I am. And if you distribute the literature, you're going to get the same reward that I am, because we're all one body. If my... if I go to the most fancy restaurant in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, wherever, not only does my arm go into the restroom, but my head does. Every part of my body gets to go into that restaurant and enjoy the atmosphere and the food and the chatter and so on, whatever goes on in there. Or if I walking down the riverbank, I'm going to enjoy the scenery, and every part of my body, in one way or another, is going to receive the blessings from it. It is the same thing. We all are one body, and that is the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that. And so, if our feet are going to do the things that the Lord says, our feet are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. But our feet are not going to be there unless the rest of us are going to be there as well. And so if our mind is filled, or is doing what the Lord, receiving from the Lord, and that what we receive, we do, well then, our mind is going to be in the kingdom of heaven, and our, because what our mind is believing and doing, so will our spirit, our soul, and our body do as well. And every part of our body is going to be in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord. But if any part of our body rebels and we follow that rebellious part of our body, all of our parts will be in the lake of fire, hell in the lake of fire. And so it only makes sense when the Lord says that our duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And he commands us to go to all the nations preaching the gospel so that he can bless us. If we don't do what he says, and we're not blessed, if we have some dreaded disease, part of our body, our jaw, or something like that is out of whack, well, then all we need to do is figure out what it is. We need to examine ourselves and figure out what is it that we're not doing so we can be blessed, that our whole body can be blessed, because the Lord states that these signs shall follow those that believe. And we want our whole body. We don't want a disease, and we don't want to be poverty-stricken. We want to be able to be blessed financially so that we can, with that financial blessing, bless other people with it. Because the Lord commands us to feed the poor and to clothe the poor and the needy and to give drink to them. And how can we possibly do that if God isn't blessing us with the finances or the wherewithal? If somebody donates a warehouse full of food to us or a field of trees that have peaches, pears, apples, or whatever, how are we going to feed people if the Lord doesn't bless us? If we do what he says, if we keep his commandments and we fear him, we're going to have so much abundance that we'll be able to bless others with it. And that's what he means when he says that we are to sow, and that everyone that hears these messages and it can see that these messages are winning souls, and you don't want a handful of these literature or several boxes full of them or a mailbag full or whatever. I don't care what church you go to, and the Lord, if you're a distributor of this literature, you're going to win souls. You can go to that church if you so desire. If you're being fed there, that's wonderful. But if they're not providing literature, soul-winning literature that's winning souls, then how can you win souls? Because you may not be a preacher. You may not be a teacher. You may not be anything like that, but the Bible, in that same list of prophets, pastors, preachers, evangelists, teachers, and helpers, you can be a helper. You can take the messages that the Lord gives myself, that you can see is winning millions of souls, and you can distribute it in your neighborhood, or your town, or your county, or wherever you are, or your whole state, and you're going to get the very same reward that I will get. And because I can't, first of all, I'm legally blind. That's number one. But spiritually, I've got 20/20 vision, all right? Mm-hmm. And the Lord, I see what the Lord is saying, and what he wants us to do. And that's why I'm passing it on to you. And you say, well, I'm helpless. I can't preach or teach. Well, then take the literature that I have and pass it on. Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to win souls. Now, if you belong to Benny Hinn's church, or if you belong to, they're Catholics, and they're, if they don't get right. We just had a bunch of our boys over there. They've distributed literature at several of his, and we're going to read one of his campaigns, and a lot of people came out of there disappointed because they didn't get healed. They were in wheelchairs and everything. They came there, and they came out really sad, but they were happy to get our literature. And, the Bible says if they are in the Vatican and they're exalting the Vatican, then they don't have the Spirit of God. And it's impossible without the Spirit of God to do a work for God. It's impossible for them to heal, because these signs shall follow those that believe. Now, the Lord commands you, if you belong to a false religion, come out of her, my people. If you don't do that, well, then you're disobedient to the Lord, and you become, it is the same as the sin of witchcraft. And the Lord, no signs will follow you. You're not going to be able to lay hands on the sick and afflicted and for them to be healed. And you're not going to be able to cast out devils. And if you even have a big campaign, where there's thousands of people at your crusades, whatever they call them, they're not going to get healed in there. And even if they do, we've seen where they go in the healing line the next day. Somehow they get some energy and some faith for a few minutes, because maybe of something that somebody said in the Word of God during their meeting. And they'll rise up and walk out of the wheelchair, but by the time it's time to go, they're still back in their wheelchair and they're in the healing line the next day. This is not the true manifestation of the power of God, the grace of God. To me, the word the grace of God means the power of God. So all power is given unto the Spirit, and Jesus has become the Holy Spirit. The Bible says all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that was Jesus. He was God who has come into the world as a man, and his name was Jesus, Yeshua. the Messiah. And if he tells us, he plainly spells out in very explicit, easy-to-understand language what it is that we must do in order to please God. And he gave these messages to the apostles as well, and before that, the prophets. So, we're not without knowledge as what to do. Now, as I said before, you may not be a preacher, teacher, evangelist, prophet, or whatever, but you could be a help, to help the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord doesn't want you to just tithe to give to people that don't have the Spirit yet. Now, we're praying for Benny Hinn that he'll get saved. All right? And once he has the Spirit, God is no respecter of persons, even though he's been promoting Catholicism in the Vatican. He was there at the Pope and says, Catholicism is just like Christianity. And that isn't so, Benny. And you know that. They teach you the catechism, and they actually are the ones that are taking the Bible out of schools. But we're praying that you get saved, and we're praying for all the other people that are with religions that don't have the power to heal. But those of us that are born of the Spirit, and we do possess the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit in us that does the healing. Jesus himself said that if I, by the Spirit of God, the finger of God, cast out devils, then who do your children cast them out? Benny, if you're a spirit of the devil, in other words, you're saying you're casting out devils and healing people, then why are they coming out of your meetings? And they're disappointed and they're sad, and there's, some of them are weeping because you didn't have it. I mean, this, how can you give the people in your congregation the things of the Lord if you yourself don't have the Spirit? Because there's nothing, there's no carnal person, that means unspiritual person, can do a work of the Lord without the Spirit. And it's so easy, Benny, to get the Spirit. Just say the sinner's prayer and ask the Lord to wash all your filthy sins away in the blood of Jesus. And that goes for everybody else out there that you know. I mean, you've got a lot of followers, and that is, and pretty soon you start believing your own hype. But you have to do what the Lord says. A lot of people are deceived, and you may have been a person that has deceived a lot of people. And but the way that you know that you're of the Lord is that these signs will follow. You'll cast out devils. You'll raise the dead. You'll cast out demons and heal every kind of sicknesses. And they won't be getting back into their wheelchairs. They'll feel that strength of the, from the Spirit of God that was ministered to them by the Spirit of God that's in you. And they'll feel that Spirit that gives them the strength to get up and walk and throw their wheelchair away. It's a real thing, Benny, and all the rest of you out there that claim that we have many healings at our church, but we don't just stress healing. I'm mainly a salvationist. I'm a person that wants to see people saved. Because once people get saved, then they're going to want to get the word out to everybody else. And everyone that gets saved, if they continue on, if they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're going to be able to do the same things that Jesus did because Jesus said they would. Amen?
Amen.
And the Spirit is what gives us the spirit of brotherhood. We become the brothers of Jesus. We're related to him. We're by his the body. We're actually the body of Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means that we're human bodies here on earth that has the Spirit of God, Father, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in us. And that means that Jesus is still working in and through millions of human bodies here on earth that have received him. And we, as a corporate body, we're not just as Jesus was. He was one body, confined to time and space. He could only go so many places per day because he was only one human body with God in him. But now God is living in many human bodies, and now many people can be saved. And not, we're not people that the government or the media is going to exalt like they do the Pope and like they do false religions, Buddhists, and say, oh, it's just a sin, you know, to not be nice to those people. Well, Jesus wasn't. Isaiah wasn't. He called them hypocrites, dogs, pigs, snakes, vipers, you know, children of the devil is what he called them. So, I mean, either we have to be like Jesus. I mean, we, you know, I don't take any pleasure in saying, sir, you're possessed with the, a possession of the devil. Now, you need to be born again of the Spirit. So that's what I get pleasure out of, is leading people to the Lord, not just name-calling them. But even the great prophet Elijah mocked a bunch of people that were worshiping the wrong God. They had two fires. They were, had two heaps of wood. One was for Elijah, and the other one was for the rest of these people. And they had all kinds of prophets there, and they were... whoever God lights the fire first is the one that's going to be the real God. So Elijah said, you go first. And so they were yelling and screaming and crying out to God until the point of exhaustion. They all fell out. And while they were doing that, the Lord says, where is your God? Is he sleeping? So see, he's mocking them for being so silly as to believe that some... image of it made out of stone or out of wood or something could actually bring down fire from heaven. And so Elijah said, okay, now let's pour a bunch of buckets of water on my wood here, because you can't have a good fire unless it's real wet. Because he was so sure that his God was going to come down and burn up that wood and lick up the water and everything else, and that's exactly what happened. Amen. So he has the real God, and we have the real God too. The same thing, we have the power of God in us, and the signs do follow us. We can call up to God. I've done this so many times, call up to God when it was just pouring down rain and getting dangerous in our ear, and I said, Lord, turn it off, Lord, for a while in Jesus' name, you know, and he'd do it immediately.
Amen.
And the people would run out the house, and they'd look out. And because it stopped thundering and lightning, you couldn't hear the rain anymore. And they go out, and there's a big circle right around our house in the heaven. And the, in our backyard and all around the general area, the birds were chirping and the little bugs were out again and everything. You know, when it's raining, the birds, they hush. But they're out there chirping because they knew the storm was over. And they've seen me raise the dead. They've seen, I mean, not me, the Spirit of God, when I pray for people. And they've seen devils being cast out, and they see people healed on a daily basis over here. Yeah. But we, that's just like Jesus, you know. And we don't, you know, we don't try to raise a lot of money to go here and there, because the Lord told me to stay here. Once in a while, he moves me to another location. But... it doesn't make any difference where I go. The power of God goes with me. Now, when he was in Billings, Montana the other day, for this today's date, he was there yesterday and the day before, I think, or 2 days ago and the day before. Today, this is May, and it was, the 18th, the 17th and 18th, somewhere in there, 19th, and they were just coming out weeping and crying. Then we did this... they went to one out in Ohio, and the same thing was happening out there. That wouldn't happen, Benny, if you had the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is powerful. It's powerful, and it raises the dead, and it's going to raise every one of us that has the Spirit of God in us from the dead on the last day. It raised Jesus from the dead, and he was the first begotten of the Father, and the Bible says that he has many brethren. And we become brothers of the Lord by the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, you can be attached to all these false religion as a carnal person. But if you're spiritual, you cannot belong to the... you will not. I mean, it's like a repulsive thing for you to belong to a false religion, and a religion that persecutes Christians, and a religion that there's no signs that follow them. Statues, that's not one of the signs that start bleeding. We saw there was a man in Cleveland, and he had a guy up in the skylight on his roof, and he had a white suit on, and this guy was caught up there firing a squirt gun that was full of chicken blood, and it was getting on his suit, his white suit, and he was cutting the suit up into little pieces and selling it from these charlatans all over the place. But one thing that separates the people of God from the people, the carnal people, is the Spirit of God. If the Spirit be in you, then you are, you belong to the Lord. But the Bible says if you, the Spirit of God is not in you, you, God is, has, you have nothing to do with God whatsoever. And you certainly are not going to be exalting Rome or the Roman Catholic Church or cult. You're not going to be exalting this government, the one world government, the one world cult from Rome, which the Bible says is the head of the Antichrist, and you're not going to be exalting the one world news media. And you're going, but the signs, the actual signs of God will be with you. The healing, the casting out of the devils, the raising up of the dead. And there won't be any disappointed people that you pray for. And you'll be soul winners, and you'll be teaching people the Bible, not the catechism. Or you won't be wanting to kill people or boycott people or anything like that. That won't win souls. There's an old saying that you can win, draw more people with honey than you can with vinegar. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord says that his word is sweeter than honey.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And so use his word, not a sword, because those that live by the sword are going to die by the sword. And that's what these false religions do. They're like at each other's throat. They're going to murder somebody if they don't believe. You don't believe the way they do. What a terrible religion that is, Mohammedism. They're afraid to leave Mohammedism. They don't worship Mohammedans. They're scared to recant on them because that says in their Quran that there's going to be the sentence of death on you if you try to leave. The Lord doesn't say that at all. He just tells you you're going to hell if you leave, okay? Nobody's supposed to kill you. God will take care of you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, what kind of a religion is that? If you leave my cult, I'll butcher you. You know, that's the kind of religion they have. Okay? Catholicism, they'll burn you to the stake. Muslims, they'll kill you. They'll cut you, they'll butcher you. So that isn't the way we are. We don't carry weapons, except the weapon, the world's greatest weapon, and that's the Word of God. The double-edged sword is sharper than any weapon. And it's the actual weapon that the Lord chose and chose for us to win souls with. And we're winning souls, and we intend to win a lot more. Okay, so let's continue with this letter.
Okay. I praise God for his miracles. Our ministries are helping people in so many ways. I believe it is because God wants everyone to receive his salvation. Beloved, there are now 17 dedicated people in these local ministries who are in need of Bibles. I will appreciate if you can send us 17 Holy Bibles, literature, and 2 giant print Bibles.
You've got them. That's it for sure.
What
else? We're providing you the Word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it's the power of God. The power of God unto salvation, but only to those that believe.
Amen.
Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Then what?
Thank you in advance for sending this vitally important spiritual food to eat. We will be keeping you in our prayers because you have the high job of winning the lost. Yours faithfully, Evangelist Bestman from Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
All right, now where's the next letter from?
From Angola, Louisiana.
Angola is a prison, isn't it? In
yes.
Louisiana, it's supposed to be one of the worst prisons going. And we've got a lot of mail, several pieces of mail, or a lot of it from that area, and we've been sending aid into that prison. Okay, let me hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Tony, I pray that you, your family, and the Alamo churches remain in the best of God's care. To the surprise of my mother and myself, the money that you sent in order for me to get a lawyer for my jailhouse problems with the guards was truly a blessing that neither myself nor mother were expecting.
Oh, yeah, that's the man that the guards were giving him a hard time. And so he needed some representation for an attorney, and they asked me, because I've been in prison for the Lord's sake, and I know, and I believe that's the reason that the Lord sent me in there, is to win souls and also to learn what it's like in there, so that when I see other people that are in distress, I'll recognize that they're telling the truth. And so I think we sent them $1,000, right, to pay for the attorney. That's right, okay? Then what else?
However, due to the hurricane, my mother is no longer in contact with the particular lawyer who offered his services for the $1,000. But I still...
See, there it is, the $1,000. Okay, you didn't have to look at her. Okay, then what?
But I still have his address, and I wrote him today to see if he's still interested in my situation. I also know of maybe three other attorneys who may pursue justice for me. Not too many lawyers in this state are willing to stand up and fight for justice.
That's true. You know why? Because they say the judges are so corrupt that if... And they say, we live in this area. I tried to hire different attorneys, you know, and they said, Tony, we can't go in there and defend you because that judge is a Catholic or he's a Buddhist or he's something else, primarily Catholics or belongs to One World Church. And they know that you say they're carnal and not spiritual. And they're going to hate me if I defend you. And I have to live in this town. There's a lot of other people that want me to handle cases for them, Tony. And so what you need to do is maybe get somebody into town from New York or Los Angeles. And if we're in Los Angeles, to get somebody from New York or something, and to hire a local counsel and come in and help you, your cause here, because and a lot of times we do have to defend ourselves, even though I have the knowledge that, you know, whatever is of the Lord, let it happen, that's fine. But we are still to fight. We've been called to resist Satan, and he'll flee from us. But if it's of the Lord, you know, nothing can get you out of the circumstance that he wants you to be in. But in this man's case, the guards in there are giving him a hard time. They did. A lot of the guards liked me a lot in prison, but there were some of them that gave me a hard time, and so I fought them. And I exposed him to a friend that was a congressman, and he pulled them up on the carpet and... told them to lay off. They were saying all kinds of false things that they had read in the false newspapers and stuff like that, and trying to get me in touch with the different inmates there, saying things that were false. So they were just having fun, and they were saying, hey, we're just kidding you, Tony. I said, yeah, but the things that you're kidding and that you're lying about, I mean, it's actually you're lying and you're trying to call that kidding. These things could possibly get a man killed, you know. And they're not going to kill me because the inmates knew that I was of the Lord and they knew that I had boldness and that I wasn't afraid of them or anything. And I resisted them by calling the congressman, and he wrote them some letters, and they laid off. And so I know that this man's trouble is true, and that's why I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sends in the finance to this particular church that I'm the pastor of, and so I had them send the money in. And here, this is a letter thanking us for that. Okay, so I thank God that he put me through that, because I wouldn't understand these things as well as I do if I hadn't been through that experience. Experience is the best teacher. The Bible, so when I read the Bible and I go through the experience, I know that the Bible is true. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
They are more concerned about money and or what favors they can get from the state.
Yeah, and I know, you know, when the Bible says that these signs will follow you if you believe and you do these things, and then when I pray for somebody, they get healed. That's what another thing that makes me know that the Bible is true. And then when I pray for somebody and I command Satan to leave their body and the devil leaves their body, I know that the Bible is true. And no matter what any of these... people that are just, they're carnal, they've never been saved, they don't have the Spirit, that they're saying they can't know the Word of God and they can't do any work of God at all. All they can do is say it can't be true. Why? Because it doesn't work for them, because they don't have the Spirit. If I didn't have the Spirit of God, the things of God would not work for me either, okay? That you have to be spiritual in order for the Spirit of God to be in you, so that the Spirit of God can do the things that the Bible says that the Spirit will do in you if the Spirit does truly exist in you. Amen?
Amen.
And if the Spirit of God does exist in you, when you die, at the last day, the Lord, the Spirit that's in you, will raise you up from the dead and carry you right up into the kingdom of heaven. So you really must have the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Or you're not going to do any spiritual, godly thing, because God is the Spirit. Actually, he is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the Comforter. He's the Holy Spirit. He became the Holy Spirit that comes down and dwells in everyone that calls upon his name to be saved. And he'll do that for you at the end of this program, because we always instruct people how to call upon the Lord to have the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, Jesus, to live in you with his Father by the Spirit. And if that happens, then you've got the Holy Spirit, and then you can begin letting God in you do the spiritual things, such as casting out devils, raising the dead, healing the sick, and you yourself will be healed if you follow the instructions of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that the law was weak in as so far as the flesh is concerned, because the flesh is corrupt, and the law cannot save your soul. What the law does is it condemns your soul. But the blood of Jesus takes away your sins, and the Spirit enters into you, the Spirit of God, and that's what gives you the power to be able to keep the law, because the law is weak so far as the flesh is concerned. In other words, what that means is the law cannot give you the power to keep the law. But this only after the Spirit of God enters into you are you able to keep the law, because the Spirit of God is the very power that is the resurrection power that raises everybody from the dead on the last day. It's the same power that holds up the earth. How do you think the earth is sitting in the air like this, spinning around, without just colliding through space and smashing into different other planets and things? This is the Spirit of God that holds all these things together, so that when the Spirit of God enters you, Christ enters you, he's the Holy Spirit within his Father, they all three are one, well, then you have the power that holds the earth up. And if it holds the earth and all the other planets up, and if it's the spirit of brotherhood with Christ, it makes the spirit in us makes us a brother with Christ. If the spirit isn't in you, you're not a brother of Christ, because everything that is spiritual, that is heavenly, has to have the Spirit of God in it. Amen?
Amen.
Now you have your spirit that has temporary life, but the only way that you have immortality, eternal life, spiritual life, is when the Spirit of God enters your spirit, and your spirit and the Spirit of God are mingled together, and then you have the power. The law is still weak so far as salvation is concerned, because it can't save anybody. All it does is, if you don't keep the law, it condemns you. It's very powerful to condemn. And so when the Bible says, well, the law is weak so far as the flesh is concerned, yes, it just doesn't give any power to your flesh. It just condemns your fleshiness. I mean, the flesh is weak. And the law is powerful to condemn the flesh because of its weakness. The flesh's weakness to keep the law, it can't. So therefore, we need the Spirit of God in us to give us the ability to be able to abide by the law, and for the law to not condemn us any longer, because we're keeping the law now. And I just thank God that after we get our sins, former sins, washed away, and the Spirit of God enters into us, that we become more than conquerors to keep the law, more than conquerors to walk in the Spirit of the Lord, more than conquerors to be perfect. Because all these carnal preachers say, well, who could be perfect? Nobody's perfect. They say that because they're not. They're still carnal. If they accepted the Holy Spirit into them, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they would know what the Bible says about having the power to keep the law so that the law doesn't condemn you any longer. They know that the Bible is true. So, you know, if you want to know that the Bible is true rather than all these different books that are coming out, let the Spirit enter into you, and you'll know that the Bible is true. And then I have no idea if the Lord is going to show you visions and signs and wonders like he has me and many other people, but I've had all that as well. And the Lord talks to me all the time and tells me what to say to you, and he tells me what to do and where to go and where not to go. And he'll have that same relationship with the Lord as I do and many others, and because the Lord is no respecter of persons. And then you'll understand what the Bible means. So it's very profitable for you to receive the Spirit of God, the indwelling, the ingrafted Word. Because the Word, Jesus said, that I speak to you is Spirit and it is life. And it's your life, your immortality, so it's for your benefit. It really doesn't benefit the Lord. He's going to be alive forevermore and in heaven, but it's for you. Mm-hmm. It's for you and it's for me. All right? And I have it already, so it's for you now. Okay? So I really accepted it. Now let's finish this letter from Angola Prison.
However, if I can't find the right lawyer, we will send you your money back promptly. If we find an attorney, I will have my mother send you a copy of the receipt. My mother and I have never met anyone as real, as kind, as generous, and as blessed as you are. You will always have my loyalty, and I shall never transgress against you. I am young, but I am wise enough to know that meeting someone like you only happens once in a lifetime, and nothing in this material world could make me violate your trust. I recall how I used to lay in my bunk with my eyes closed and silently speak from my heart. I wondered if I was communing with myself or God. Because I'm small physically, I had a complex with praying on my knees in front of other prisoners. I wanted people to believe that even though I'm small physically, I can still do everything myself. I didn't need nobody's help, not even a God that I wasn't sure about his existence. But every day I laid on my bunk, eyes closed, and prayed or talked to myself, whatever you want to call it. And the hardest thing was facing facts about myself that I didn't like. But I found the strength to admit that I was wrong when I was wrong. Then I started praying that God allow my elderly father to live long enough to see me free again and enable me to give back to him and show him his support and wisdom was very much appreciated. None of my friends had a father, but I did, and I took it for granted because I was ignorant and immature at the time. So I asked God to give me the opportunity to make things right before my father passes. But the most I was able to do was talk to him on the phone and tell him in words what I wanted so badly to show him in my actions. But my imprisonment prevented me from doing just that. And in January of 2004, God took my father, who lived to be 79 years old. I was crushed. I still haven't fully accepted it yet. So I felt like my prayers were just gone with the wind. I stopped praying. Then these guards attacked me viciously by spraying me with gas and giving me medication that almost killed me. As I laid in the ambulance on my way to an outside hospital, I prayed to God not to let me die so young. At least let me see the world. And my main concern was my mother's reaction to me dying. It would have been too much for her to bear. When God pulled me through, I felt ashamed because the only time I called on him was when I was in trouble. So I vowed to pray through the good and the bad, but I still wasn't 100% sure that God existed. But now, through our encounter, no one can pay me to say that God doesn't exist. I know for sure he does, and he showed me that I can't do this or anything without him. I can't explain why he took my father before I could give back, but God is the best of planners. He created everything, not me. So I can't tell him how to run it.
In other words, say I didn't create everything. God did, right?
Mm-hmm.
He created me, and I didn't do it. Okay, then what else?
On March 23rd, 2006, I sent you a portrait of you and your son.
Are you the artist? I mean, I'm asking him, because if you are, you're a fantastic artist. You did a very good likeness of me. I've got it hanging. I've got it up on the shelf over here. Everybody just marveled at it. And if it's somebody else there, I would like to have them do many other pictures of other people and things. We'd be glad to, help them out, too. You know. And anybody else in the prison that needs finances or something, we can help them out that way. All right, then what?
On April 30th, 2006, I sent you my legal papers. My old attorney's license is suspended, and he is very ineffective. He wrote me and told me he was sending you my legal papers. I guess he lied again, but hopefully you received the legal papers that I sent you. I also know how your attorney can get my trial transcript. Your lawyer can get my trial transcript from off the computer. Pastor, you are truly a blessing to me, and I really do believe that God is working through you. I thank you wholeheartedly for the love you show me and my family. God bless you. Sincerely, Eric.
All right, praise the Lord. Where is the next letter from?
From Accra, Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Pastor in Christ, I am a boy of 22 years of age who has stopped womanizing after reading and praying with some of your words in your newsletters, and I want a Bible to go to church. I thank God for your words in the paper, saving me from such. May he bless you more in Jesus' name. Amen. Emmanuel from Kasoa, Accra, Ghana, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Is that it?
Then there's the witnessing response from Montana.
Okay. Let's hear that. This is one of our witnessing crews. We have hundreds of them in the United States and thousands of them all over the world. Let me hear what they said.
While we were
now, Billings, Montana is one of my hometown. I've lived there in Helena and Lewistown, and Windham, Montana, where it's near Great Falls. And Billings, I stayed there in Helena most of the time. Then what?
While we were in Billings, Montana, distributing Tony Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletters, we distributed them to people coming out of a Benny Hinn crusade. Everyone was very receptive and happy to receive your World Newsletters. Many of the people we talked to were very disappointed with the Benny Hinn crusade. There were many people in wheelchairs, on crutches, and even being carried out, and it was so sad to see the disappointment and sorrow on their faces, because they had come expecting to be healed and had not. However, it was great to see encouragement and hope on these people's faces.
One thing I would say to those people, Benny Hinn doesn't heal anybody, or either do I, but it's the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord has already provided healing for them, and if they just believe that, all they have to do is take it. But you could take a bucket full of water and put it by a dying horse, and if he, or a dying person, let's say, put a glass of ice water by him, and they could just say, please give me water. They'd be out on the Mojave Desert for about a week, and they're just on their last legs. And the water's sitting right there in front of them. Amen?
Amen.
But they won't drink it. They keep praying for water. And it's there. Somebody keeps dropping ice cubes in it even. Well, if you don't take what the Lord has provided, take your healing. He said, by my stripes, you are healed. You were healed. Amen? It's something that has already happened. And by my stripes, you were healed. You are healed. And believe on the whole Bible, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So God has provided salvation for us, and he says, keep the commandments, and I'll give you all the blessings. So everything is provided, but just reach out and accept your healing. And that's what I tell, I have to say something similar like that to everybody before I pray for them. And when I do pray for them, and they really believe the Word of God that he's already provided for them, they get up and they walk. Amen?
Amen.
And they get healed. They can have all kinds of things wrong with them, but they get healed. And so I'm saying that to those of you that are listening, that you may need a healing, but the Lord has already had it. Your body may say, my body says, I got cancer, I've got leukemia, I've got AIDS or something. But the Lord says, your body's lying to you. You are healed. You've already been healed. I provide, now just take it. Receive it from me in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
God has provided it for you, so in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Now keep the commandments and live. Okay? It's not living really a quality life if you're sick. The Lord doesn't want you to be sick. That's why he paid the price for your healing. And it's there. It's like a glass of water in front. Don't be praying for a glass of water with ice cubes in it. If it's sitting right in front of you, just grab it and drink it. The righteous take it by force and violence. Just grab that glass and drink it. Amen?
Amen.
Grab that glass of healing and drink it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Then what?
However, it was great to see encouragement and hope on these people's faces as we witnessed to them and gave them your faith-filled messages. I know that the Lord can work miracles in these people's lives as they receive faith to reach out to the Lord through your powerful spirit-filled messages.
Right. He's already provided for them. Just take it and drink it. Okay, then what?
We have also been receiving a lot of good responses and requests for more literature and your Messiah book from people in Billings and throughout Montana.
Well, that's wonderful. Okay, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, we have about five more minutes, so let's go with the message of how to have God's life living you. This is part number 84. Go ahead.
The dying love of Christ is like the rushing waters, actually the rushing of great waters toward us.
Yes, because that's what it means, that the Lord constraineth us. he like fills us with his divine love. He wants you to know that he's provided salvation, eternal life for you. I mean, isn't that something to know that you're saved and you're going to heaven and that he's provided healing? And that should make anybody that's not a, not a maniac, that should make you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because he's provided also prosperity for you, eternal life, and life more abundantly here. Now, as I said before, he prospers us so that we can prosper others. This man has a problem. Guards are probably beating him and abusing him in prison. And I've been there. And so the Lord has been in prison. He was beaten there. And so the Lord says, inasmuch as we did it to the least of his people, you did it unto me, Tony, when I stand up there. And you people have the same opportunity. Maybe you don't have $1,000 to send a guy, but we've sent 10,000 for another one who was in prison falsely. He was been in prison for like many years, maybe 30 or 40 years, and it was like two white girls accused this black man of raping him. And there's absolutely no proof whatsoever, and the man is a Christian. He swears that he never did it. And so I sent $10,000 to our attorney, Ron Kuby. He's a very famous attorney in New York, and he is our attorney, and so is Eric Lieberman there. I sent him the $10,000 to help get him out, but they already had, in the meantime, they already got another attorney, and so it was a woman attorney they had in Louisiana, and so Mr. Kuby sent the $10,000 back. And but I mean, we were ready. We're ready to defend you. And the Lord is ready to defend you if you'll just listen to him and do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what the Lord wants you to do too. He wants you to sow the seeds of the things that he did so that you can have a harvest. And the harvest is that you yourself will be healed. You yourself will have prosperity. You will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So sow the seeds. And if you don't know how to sow the seeds, I do. Ask for tons of my literature if necessary, or 100 or 50 pieces, and distribute them around your neighborhood, and you'll be sowing the good seed, the word of God, and that way you'll be blessed by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll even send you a t-shirt or a sweatshirt to show them where you're from, okay? That you're coming right straight from the Lord. Okay, then what else? Just tell them Tony sent you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The love of Christ compels us to consecrate ourselves to God and to live for him beyond our own natural control.
Yes, but see, we are natural, and we need to put some super onto that natural. You know what I mean? We can't be a natural person and have any of the Spirit of God. We have to have the super on top of the natural. We've got to have the Spirit of God in us, and then we can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because Christ is in us, so we can do whatever he tells us to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
We cannot do this, but when we have the Holy Spirit, we do.
Yes.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, quote, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, unquote. The mercies referred to here are the love of God.
Yeah, the constraint constraineth thee, the love of God. You just love God because he saved your soul and he wants to save everybody on earth. But some people just won't reach out and drink that glass of ice water, you know? They won't receive the healing. It's there. He paid for it. Like if I laid a stack of $1,000 bills, if I had them, on a right next to you and say, take it. And you just say, I need money. Oh, please give me money. And I say, well, this $1,000 is right there. Take it. But I need money. I mean, you'd be crazy, wouldn't you? Well, I think you're crazy, too, if you don't take the salvation, the healing, and all the other mercies that the Lord God gives you. Amen?
Amen.
That he's already provided for you. He's got it sitting right in front of you like a glass of ice water. Or if you don't like ice, you don't like too much cold stuff, just take it, you know, and drink it, whatever, all right? Go ahead, then what else?
Therefore, in this section of Scripture, Paul is seeking to move our spirits, our hearts, with the love of God. He will cause us to have the motive of love so that we might consecrate ourselves willingly to God as a living sacrifice.
Right. The reason that we do that is because He bought us. But we also do this because the motivation is because He loves us. And my time is up. And God loves you, and I love you too, or I wouldn't be doing this. And we have to, you know, we only have so much time on the on each program. And so, but right now you need to get a hold of the Lord so you can have the Spirit of God so that you can be, put some super onto your natural self and you can do all things. So just say this prayer before the Lord, all right? And you'll be born again of the Spirit. Say to the Lord, pray to Him right now, saying, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You have answered me. And according to Your own word, that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know I'm saved, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now praise and thank the Lord, and just keep reading His word so that your mind, that your mind will be filled with the Lord. You'll have the mind of Christ. Your mind will be renewed. It won't have all these things in it. Now, Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of tape program number 186. And please specify whether you want a audio tape or a CD. And everything is prepaid, postage paid, and handling is all paid for. Nothing, no charge at all. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right. Now, tomorrow will be part number 85 of how to have God's life living in you. And until then, just keep praising the Lord and keep yourself consecrated. He bought you, and just be His now. And, you know, shun the world. And until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.